So the impetus for this year is some discussion about possibly introducing Shabbos elevators here in the community in the university towers. So somebody asked me what I thought about it. I said, you know, I'll give a share about it. I have to tell you a funny story that I, a few weeks ago, I was dropping off, my wife was sending food for Shabbos to some couple that just had a baby there in the university towers. So I get into the elevator and a woman gets in. I don't recognize her. She asked me if I live there. I said, no, I don't live there. She says, if there be a Shabbos elevator in the building, in the building, would you live here? She was a member of the management, and she was actually taking a poll. I don't know her name, but it was, so she was taking a poll to see if people would be interested, would increase any usage of the building by the fact that says that, you know, I didn't want to go there at this point in time with this non-Jewish woman and start explaining the questions. I said, you know what, I'm very happy in my house, and well, let's leave it like that. Okay, so I thought it to be very interesting. There are copies. If somebody wants to copy, there are copies here in the Bima. The reality is that we're not going to be able to cover in this year. We're not going to be able to cover in this year anywhere near all of the issues which are out there. That's the reality. I'm going to try maybe do. And I'm not. This is not a local ma'aser shir. I'm just trying to learn through some of the sugya and understand some of the questions. So the first few pages in the packet actually deal with things which are not problematic, and for the most part, I just wanted to remove them, take them off of the table as much as possible. If you look at page 13 in the packet, you'll see a list of potential issues which are there in the uses of Shabbos elevators, and of course the first one is buttons, which the automatic elevators take care of buttons. I just wanted to mention that because you shouldn't think I didn't know there are buttons in an elevator. But I also know that Shabbos elevators don't use buttons. Okay. So some of the other ones, as we go along, we'll explain some of them. I just want to point out that Shabbos elevators automatically stop at every single floor, or every other floor, so you don't push any buttons. Number four is a fascinating thing. Number four is, there was a psak, I just want to... The history of Shabbos elevators, at least the basic history of Shabbos elevators, so there are two halachic science institutes in Eretz Israel. One called Machon Magi LeBayit VaHalacha, Techon Magi LeBayit VaHalacha, which is headed by Rabbi Halperin. Another one is Selmet Institute, which is headed by Rabbi Yisrael Rosen. And both of them have developed a Shabbos elevator. And this goes back already. The Shabbos elevator started back in the 70s. And they Shari Tzedek and different hospitals have these Shabbos elevators which were developed by them. Getting beyond the issue of automatically stopping and starting, they recognize that there are other halachic issues involved in the process. And that became pretty much accepted in many places that those are acceptable based on their modifications which they suggested and instituted in these elevators. I do want to point out there was a psak which came out in Tovshin Samach Tes, five years ago, four plus years ago, it was Elul Tavshin Samatas, really, it was 4 years ago, from a missing Karelitz, which he says that based information he got from some engineers, etc., certain things have changed, and he feels it's now a problem. And it's signed off by Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Vosner, and Rabbi Asher. Okay? This is in Cheshem Tavshin Samatas. So, in El of Tavshin Samuch Tes, in Cheshen of Tavshin Ayin, Rav Halperin wrote a response. Now, the psak was one of as these psakim go. It was this big. It's awesome. That's what Ola basically said. Didn't say why. Didn't say what the issues are. Right? It wasn't. They went and discussed it with the materium and gave the issues, etc. It was a very, very, very minimal. So, Rav Halperin responded to it in a letter in Tavshin Ayin. He says that based on his research he's done now recently, nothing has changed. And whatever the psalm were before remain as such. So now I have to tell you that the issue really hinges on number four, and number four, Rabbi Yasha actually held was ushered all the way back originally. So it's based on the principle of whether you hold a groma switch as mutter or a groma switch as ushered, which that is a different conversation. I gave a shear about, if you remember, I gave a shear about Sabbath mode controversy about using the Shabbos mode ovens on Yom Tov, on a Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, it's called Sabbath mode because they don't know what holiday mode wouldn't really work. What's a holiday mode? Thanksgiving? You know, what holiday mode is it? So they sell it as a Sabbath mode. It really means a Yom Tov mode. And that is Machloek, because Rav Heinemann held those Ramut, and that was the Star K, was Mat, and Rabbi Yasha held it was us. It's the exact same argument between the two of them. So nothing is new under the sun. Even though the Psa came out, and now it's a big thing, but and Rosh Hashanah held it was Mutter B'Shaitos. So it, I don't, you know, that's not that. So I want to take that off the table. Maybe I'll have a chance to explain what that is later on in the conversation of the Shir. But so you should be aware that there is a lot of noise out there about on the issue. Okay, so we're gonna the head of the Machon. Okay. Let's start with the following. So when a person goes into the elevator and the elevator goes up. So the first original psalm which we're addressed about elevators was, of course, the button issue. And remember, as a Chumri says, well, if you have a situation where the guy is pushing the buttons, right? So the guy is pushing the buttons, so you're not doing anything. Now, obviously, you can't ask the guy to push the button for you. But in a case where he's going in the, you run into the question, can you go into the elevator? He's pushing, going to 4-9. You want to go to 4-9 anyway. So, can you join him in the elevator? And Mersha said yes. So, he did not have a problem with going into the elevator as long as the guy is doing the lacha, not for you specifically. He's doing it for himself. So that's one truth of Mersha. There's another truth of Mersha, which Mersha said later, maybe there are some potential other issues. Not clear if he rescinded his original psak or not, but he seems to be that he passed in Lehetter. So that was the first issue which came up with elevators, was pushing the buttons. The good old days, I still remember, the elevator man, with the getting, open the door, put you in, close the gate, push the button. Yeah, so then he was doing it for you, if you were the only passenger. So that would be a problem, because then he's doing it for you. What floor do you want, etc. So wherever you want to go. It doesn't really go. Where do you want to go? Wherever you want, just go somewhere. He's doing it for you in that situation, so that wouldn't work. But in case the guy's going in, so go wherever he wants to go, and you're taking the ride. So let's say that's mutter. Then came the questions. People started raising the question, well, the fact that I get into the elevator, and I add weight to the elevator, so the elevator has the motor, which has to schlep this cab up to the floor X. Now that I'm there, it has to exert more effort, which means more electricity, and that should be a problem. That was the first question, which the person I'm dealing with was the ascending elevator. They basically dealt with two questions. One question is, well, theoretically, when I'm pulling more electricity, so electricity itself, let's go back and discuss electricity itself for just a second, because we need to understand that for this conversation. Electricity really is divided up into two conversations. The uses of electricity on Shabbos. One is electricity in an incandescent bulb, in a situation where there's something which you have a filament which is glowing, and that's the famous psak from Rav Chaim Moser, that Rav Chaim Moser said that, based on it's a Rambam, really, the Rambam says if you take metal and you heat the metal to the point that it glows, so by doing that, you have made you've made fire. Making metal glow is considered making fire. So when I turn on the switch and the filament inside my incandescent bulb now is burning bright based on the electric flow and the friction which creates, I'm taking this metal, making it red hot or white hot, whatever it is. So I'm making fire. So that electricity issue of in bulbs. That was the first area which I was discussed, because that's really the first major application of electricity was your electric bulb, asked Thomas Edison. And so that's not the question. That's at the rice. The next question was, okay, but I'm not doing that. There's no bulb connected over here. It's turning a fan, right? So I turn on the fan. I push the switch, and the fan starts going. So the fan is moving. So the malach of the fan moving, nothing wrong with the fan moving. Right? The problem is I've introduced electricity into the mechanism which wasn't there before. So sometimes there's sparking. The postman said the sparks are not issues. The sparks are not significant. I don't want them. They're not irrelevant to me. They're detrimental many times, etc. So the sparks, which it sparks along the way, doesn't bother. So let's leave the sparks aside. Okay, so what am I doing wrong? What's the problem of introducing electricity into the circuit, completing the circuit, and therefore allowing electricity to flow through the mechanism, whatever it is? What's wrong over there? So there are two approaches to this issue. The first approach is page one, is the Beis Yitzchok. I don't remember the date of the Shuva. The date of the Shuva goes back quite some time. And he was discussing using a telephone. Right. So, when you complete the circuit, you have your circuit. You're able to talk. So there's electricity being used in the telephone. There's nothing burning which is causing a problem, but there is electricity being used. So he suggested the following. So yeah, you're please sit down.
Yes.
Thank you. So he suggested when you complete the circuit, so you have now this mechanism which wasn't working. You're adding a new element to it which wasn't there before. That's equivalent to the concept of molid. And there's a Gemara in Bay. The Gemara in Bay says if a person takes a garment which has no smell, and he takes some type of a perfume and he perfumes the garment, it's also on Yom Tov for Shabbos because you're being molid. You're adding a smell, adding something new which wasn't there before. Rashi says that's equivalent to like creating something. And it's a durabana. It's an Issa durabana called molid. So he suggested introducing electricity into the mechanism. So whereas before it was not doing anything, and now it's doing something, it's now able to accomplish something, etc., which wasn't before. You've definitely added a new element. It's not any less than adding a smell. It wouldn't be any worse, any less significant than adding a smell into a garment. So if I can't add a smell into a garment, I can't add electricity, which wasn't there before, into this mechanism, allowing it to then accomplish. It's a durabona. So that was the tshuva from the Beis Yosef. So that was the first tshuva which really addressed this issue. It was this tshuva. I think it goes back to it was the end of 1888. I remember it was the end of 1800s when he wrote this tshuva. Yes.
So by that opinion, adding more electricity to that, you know, changing the
power. We're gonna get to that. Okay. So that is that's the Beis Yosef. That's page one. On page two. Years later, came along the Chazon Ish, based on the Gemara in Shabbos. I spoke about this once in the shul and made a lot of people very excited, shall we say. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos discusses the following issue. If I have a telescoping painter's brush, but it doesn't telescope, it actually has pieces that you screw in. So I can make it longer or shorter by screwing in more pieces or less pieces. So Moore said, you can't screw those pieces in. Here's the head of the brush, and here's the handle. You can screw in another one, and make it so you can paint all the way up to the top of the building, the bottom of the building, etc. You're not allowed to add those things in on Shabbos. You can't add or take those off. So the question is, the Moor says that case is mutter, but the Moor says the case of putting together a bed is also. So one of the questions is, what's the difference in the two cases? So the Ramban and the Rashbas Ritvoa say that the case is since you do it so often up and down, you never tighten it totally. Which indicates had you tightened it totally, even though it's made to go on and off all the time, you add or you subtract them all the time. But since if you would tighten them totally, it would be also to do on Shabbos. But since you do it loosely, it's mutter. Now, so Chazon Ish says, what do you see? Even though it's a keli, it's not karka, it's not part of the ground, it's a keli. And we assume that there's no problem of binyan b'kelim, but Tosfos says, but a binyan gomer applies to keli. Now, a binyan gomer l'shoa for a short amount of time, what's the status of that? See, even the Rishonim over here is saying that if you do it tightly, that's called boina, and it'll be a problem. So he says, well, I would suggest then, when you take your mechanism, which is not functioning, and you add the electricity to it, and now it functions. So you're taking you're adding an element to the there which wasn't there before. That's not any less than connecting the two your pole, making it longer, making it more usable to reach the top, than adding electricity and making your fan move. So Chazon Ish said he would therefore consider it's considered boina. Now his argument is not that much different than the Beis Yitzchak. The only difference is that he calls it he goes to the Gemara in Beya and he goes to the Gemara in Shabbos and he calls it boina and he calls it moilin. Well, Bona is the rice and Moel is the Rabon. So that is significant. So that's page two. Comes along the Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and it's page three, in his Shuvah Sefer. I didn't put in, there's a lot, because again, the topic over here is not electricity. You need the background for this, is that, to understand this. Rosh Shlomo Zalman has a long argument back and forth with the Chazon Ish. Actually, he discussed this with the Chazon Ish, whether it's not considered Bona. He felt it wasn't considered Bona. Since it's made to use as such, back and forth, that's normal usage, that's not called boina. But he said, He said, leaving that aside for a second, so he has a tshuva over here where he says, according to the Beis Yitzchak, that the Isser is Merlid. So Merlid, you're adding smell. Let's say it smells already. You want to strengthen the smell. Right? Is that Isser? Well, if the Isser is adding a new element to it, which wasn't there before, and that's like Barrei, so Zachar, but it already has a smell, making more smell isn't Isser. So he points that out. This is on page 3. So that he brings it to Machloek, just the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that's mutter. The Magarim says it's also. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says it's mutter to add more. Once your garment is perfumed, you want to add some more perfume to make it smell better or stronger, is mutter. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says. The Magarim says it's also. So he says, well, according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, adding more electricity once the connection is already there and the current is flowing, drawing more current is not going to be a problem. And that's relevant. The person has a hearing aid. So it's always, it's the current, the circuit is complete. There is electricity in there. When you talk to him, the level of the flow of electricity is greater. She said, that's mutter, because you're not doing anything. That's like the case of being moisif kayat, not being merlid kayat, but moisif kayat. So that's what he said. It's interesting to point out, Moshe has a tshuva, but he talks about hearing aids, and he concurs with that point. Okay? That it's would be mutter to a person to wear a hearing aid and talk to somebody with a hearing aid, because you're not really, the fact that there's more or less electricity going through the circuit is not going to be problematic.
And there is no issue in Moshif Koach?
According to the Magen Aram, there would be. According to Shulchan Aruch Rav, there's not. But since it's an Isser Rabbanan, you can be sent back on the Shulchan Aruch Rav that it's mutter. Okay, so therefore, the person came along and said, going up, what are you doing? The electricity is the circuit is complete. The motor is pulling currents. So by going up, it pulls more currents. Okay, no. So what? That's mutter. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. So that's mutter. So ascending elevators weren't the problem. That was interesting. Everybody assumed that the ascending elevators were the problem. Descending was great. Like, what are you doing? You're not doing anything. You're just going down, right? So, but ascending was the problem. So no. Ascending is not the problem. However, descending is a problem. Like, which is the exact opposite of the thought process, the original thought process. Right? Now, the other issue that you have, which theoretically is when it comes to, let's say, this situation of, okay, I'm increasing more electric flow into my motor. So that's mutter, was flowing. There was a current coming in anyway. I'm not really changing, making something new. That's not a problem. One question, which was the few posts can raise, or Shlomo Zalman raised it, etc. Also, well, because of me, in the generator plant, there's a fire. Well, how do they make electricity? Well, there's this generator doing it. It's burning coal. It's boiling water. Whatever it's doing, so I'm making more fire. That's mamish fire. That's because of me. So that's not a secretion, because at any given moment, which I'm going to the elevator, remember somebody's stepping out of elevator somewhere, and therefore the general city's usage of electricity did not necessarily increase or decrease from the moment that I walked into the elevator. So that's not considered that I'm, that's not a secretion that I'm causing something to happen over there. So that's not problematic. Okay, so now here comes the question. The question is, but when you go down, what happens when you go down? So Reb Halperin, when he first started looking into this issue of elevators, he wrote a sefer called Maliot B'Shavas, which is Elevators and Shavas, which came out in 1984. So he researched this question. He realized that we have a problem. Going down, what happens is when you go down, the nature of the elevator, the path is going down, is it's generating electricity. What happens is that the motor, which the descent is causing the motor to, also causing the motor to turn, the energy which has been created by the descent is causing the motor to turn, acts like a generator and it's producing electricity. So they've actually researched this phenomenon and they found that it's actually true. They did a study in the World Trade Center, Olav Shalom, right? World Trade Center, they did a study that they found that during peak usage, in the afternoon, like about 5 o'clock, the bulbs in the building would burn brighter. Because there was enough electricity being generated by the elevators that it went back into the wires, into the rest of into the building, and it actually put more current in the building, and therefore, X amount of, you know, even if you had a brownout in the rest of the city, you know, because it's New York, right? But in there, actually, you would see electricity coming out of the elevator, or out of the into the system of the elevator itself, and then eventually back into the rest of the wires. So he says, well, that's true. My weight in the cab is helping to make that happen. So I'm contributing to generating electricity, which is running the lights in the elevator, moving the elevator, controlling the switches, whatever the elevator is doing, my weight is contributing to that. And this is the question which he raised, and this became the fascinating question, which they, so assuming that the physics is correct, which that I'm not qualified to discuss yes or no, but it seems to me that that's been confirmed that is true. So assuming the physics is correct and that's what happens, now the question is, how does a local look at that? So again, what's happening is that I'm not doing it, my weight is doing it. I'm just there. I'm not actively doing anything, I'm passively involved in doing this. So how does a local look at that? So there are three approaches which were used to this problem. By three people which were matter elevated. Okay? So the first approach is to say that a person's act of doing something with weight is passive, it's not considered my maisa, I'm not doing anything. So just being in the elevator alone will not be problematic. And whatever happens, it's not my responsibility. I'm not doing it, it's happening. It's not called me doing it. So for Hilchos Shabbos, that's not called my maisa. That was one approach. And then he brought some words which seem to indicate that a person being passive is not considered his action. Rav Halperin disagreed with that. He held it, no, he had Gemaras which seemed to indicate that a person's action, just being there passively is considered your mice. My weight is doing something, it's called me doing something. And of course, some of the rites were the exact same Gemaras, right? There were two ways to look at the Gemara, and that's part of the argument. Rosh Hashanah came along with a third, so the first approach was the approach of Rabbi Rosen, which they had at Tzomet. So Tzomet certified elevators aren't worried about the fact that your weight is doing anything in the descent. Rav Halperin held that it is a problem, and his certified elevators from the Machon Madoi, Labait Balacha, they are concerned about it, and they modified to solve that problem. So they both are certified by halachic institutes, halachic science institutes, but they're totally different certifications. Rav Halperin held that it was a problem, and he modifies to solve the problem. We probably won't have time to explain how he does that. So they both wrote shuvas back and forth. Rosh Hashanah disagreed with the Halperin and held it was not a problem. The fact that your weight is doing something, but his argument was the following. So in the Sefer Shirin Shabbos Kilchasa, which is page 4, there is a footnote. This is a footnote in Shirin Shabbos Kilchasa. It's the longest footnote in Shirin Shabbos Kilchasa. It's a direct quote from Rosh Hashanah. It takes up about 2 pages in the Sefer. As you see, it took me 2 pages to get the whole thing in over here. And he suggests the following. And Shabbos, there's a concept called...
Excuse me.
Yeah. And Shabbos, there's a concept called Melechus Machshavis that the Torah Asher prohibits Melechus Machshavis. It has something which has some elements of accomplishment that rules out the idea of Mekalkel, it rules out the idea of Melechus Lugufa, Dover Shani Miskavit. It rules out many things on Hilchos Shabbos. So he says, here I have a situation where if I wouldn't be there, because it's an automatic elevator, it stops at every floor, it goes up and goes down, the lights go on, lights go off, everything happens exactly the same with me or without me. The truth is, yes, when I'm there, I'm doing it, but if I wouldn't be there, it would happen anyway. So how does halacha look at that? So he brings 5 rayas that halacha looks at that's not considered your maisa. That's not considered melechus machshava, that you did something. I'm not going to look at all 5 of the rayas. Just to give you one example of one of his rayas is that there's a Kreger in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Bishul, quotes a ritva. The ritva, it's a ritva in Masechta Shavuos, and it's the ritva says, the Gemara says, it's actually discussing, not Hilchos Shabbos, the Gemara is discussing the iser for a non-kayim, which is tameh, to do a void in the base of Mikdash. He's high punishment for doing so. So Moore says, well, he's chayav punishment for being in the basement there anyway. So where's the case where he's chayav for the voida and not for being there? The Moore says he came tummy inside. The Moore says, well, he came tummy inside. He's not chayav for being there, but he's chayav to leave immediately. If he doesn't leave immediately, he's going to be punished. So while he's leaving, he does the voida. The Moore says, what voida can you do while you're leaving? The Moore says, well, you can grab a big fork, turn the meat over on the mizbeach, and cause it to burn. So you're turning it over, and therefore it's going to burn in the mizbeach. Well, it was on the mizbeach anyway. It was going to burn anyway. So what exactly did you do? Well, you could argue, well, what do you mean what exactly did I do? The moment I picked it up, that it's not going to burn anymore. And I put it back down. I'm making it burn. Of course, that's what I did. Comes retort says, "Well, you made it burn more quickly because you know it's when one side is face down, it's on the fire, so that's burned X amount. Now the other side has to burn through from the bottom. Now you turn it over, it burns through from the other side directly. It burns more quickly. So Kirav Bishul is called Bishul." That's what Ritvoa says. So Kramer quotes this halacha Bishul on Shabbos, the Ritvoa on Masechta Shavuos, to Raya that Kirav Bishul is called the halacha of the Raya on Shabbos. What does he need Kirav Bishul for? You're right, it would have happened without you, but now it's happening because of you. You did it. So you see that's not enough to be Mechayev you on Shabbos. It must be there's some change in the process that it will happen with a different result because of you, otherwise you're not Chayev. And then again, he brings four other Rayas, which all are basically along the same lines. Different place in Hilchos Shabbos, a case where a person waters a plant which is already saturated. So, you know, et cetera, those type of cases where it's not, the result would be the same with you or without you, so therefore you're not chayav. That's his first argument. So that's the first thing that Rav Shlomo says. That basically takes you down to the bottom of page 4. You see, if you look through, you'll notice it says, you see this Beis Gimel Dalet Hey. So he brings his five rayas to that concept. So he argues the same thing when it comes to the elevator, that would be the same thing when it comes to the elevator. Okay.
What will be the same thing when it comes to the elevator?
That it's going to happen anyway, so it's not considered your mice. Now, look at page 5. You'll notice like halfway down the page, there's a little bit of a gap over there because it was in 2 pages and I had to cut and paste, etc. So he says, at the end of the day, Mistarba the Shaper Shori Gam Shalom Malkam half said, I really hold this is really mutter without any other considerations, it should be mutter. Vahaf to be the Neshon Madam and Ain Lasus Maisa Lahoka be the Raisa Bli Raya Brura. But the Maisa, it's a nice Swara, but you're not matter things based on Swaras. None of the Raisa elders are foolproof. So he doesn't want to be matter based on that alone. So he says some more arguments. And his final argument at the end of the day, is Lochain, all the way towards the last brackets at the bottom, towards the 3-4 lines up. Near the Ein Limchus Bemishanarg Lahoko Gambi Rita, people which allow themselves to go down, you cannot protest. You should not protest. Ah, became Rotsumoy the Sakin Shanurus Tidlokeno Kolasman, you should have it that it shouldn't go. I mean, as it goes down, lights go on and off in the elevator. There's things going on. You know, the elevator goes as it goes up, lights, the floors go on, the floors go up. He would suggest a modification that all of the light, the floor should be lit up, and there should be some type of a cover system which moves back and forth mechanically to indicate what floor you're on. So it shouldn't be the lights going on and off. You shouldn't be turning on lights. So you also want to give out, again, the lights are incandescent bulbs. Our bulbs now are LEDs, which are their buttons. Most part, they're not incandescent, but they're incandescent bulbs. And that was Mamash dealing with the question of turning on a fire in the bulb. So he said, you know what, don't turn on the bulbs. So that's what he would suggest. He said, even according to Chazon Ish, he would think that would make this mutter. So that's his final psak is, really, we shouldn't be maicha in somebody who does it. He doesn't say you should do it. And the Shem Shabbos Hill was a base, and his psak says that the Mokka Matzarech, in case there's a necessity, an elderly person, etc., you can be meichel. He does not come out halakha l'maisa, you can use it anytime you want, the Shabbos elevator. It doesn't say you can.
Is
it all band down or just down? This is talking about going down. Talking about going down, and there is an elevator which all it does, the only modification it stops at each floor automatically. That's all it does. That he would not be mutter. There are more modifications, we might be mutter, but without just this modification alone, the fact that it's going to happen anyway was not enough to be mutter. All of them, even though he really believes that it's mutter. That was Rosh Hashanah and Orbach Tzitzel's psak. Okay. Let's skip, because it's already late. Let's skip to page 10. So the question is going to be, this is taken from Rav Halperin Sefer, Maliot B'Shabbos. The Sefer is over 200 pages long. So we couldn't put the whole Sefer in here this morning. So I just want to focus on this one point. Is a person's weight considered his mice or not? So he brings a few rayas to that point. And it's interesting, Rosen bring some of the exact same Gemaras the other way around. Okay, so at the bottom of page 10, he brings the following. He quotes the Tosis in Masechta Sanhedrin, which is page 17 in your packet. The Tosis says the following question. So there's an Isser that didn't guard, well, Yahweh, a person should not, when it comes to Isser of Ritzicha, of murder, a person should not, if he said, kill this person, I will kill you, Chas v'Sholom. So he allows himself to be killed. He cannot kill. Cannot do murder. Let's say the scenario was the goy comes over to the Jew, and Jew says, listen, here's the guy. You see the little kid over there? I'm going to take you and throw you onto that child. And your weight will crush the child and kill him. If you don't let me do that, I'm going to kill you. So you're not going to do anything. You're just going to crush him with your weight. That's not you. I'm going to throw you on him, and it'll crush him. If you stop me, I will kill you. Tosafot says you don't have to give up your life in that situation. Okay? So Rav Rosen brings that Gemara as a raya that your weight is not considered your maisa. At the end of the day, what's killing the child is your weight is killing the child. So he says, you see from that Gemara that your weight is not considered your maisa. So Rav Halpin comes along and says, if you look at the language of Tosafot says two phrases. Tosafot says, the whole source for the argument that Ritzicha is, I have to give up my life, is because why is your blood better than his? Well, over here, I say, why is his blood better than mine? And the Tosafot says, Kima the Lovid Meiser. So Tosafot stresses, you're not doing a Meiser. Tosafot stresses, this argument, why is, what are you both for? So, of course, each one's going to focus on one of them. So, Rav Rosen says, it says, Kima the Lovid Meiser. You see, it's not your Meiser. Rav Halpern says, you see, it says, because of this argument, why are you Mechuyiv to give up? Why am I mechuyev to give up my life in this situation? Since I'm passive, the argument of what I'm mechuyev to do is less. It doesn't mean it's not considered your mitzvah to be held responsible. So that's what they're going to argue about. So you see, take a look at the bottom of page 10. Mimaz Ahutzko Tosis Lis Svoris Maichosis. Tosis has the argument, why should his blood be better than mine in this scenario? Well, Kosustam, Shein HaMaisah Mishyachas L'Mushach Klal. It's not my mitzvah. End the conversation. Right, mukhash etzem ritzicha mishiches is gamla adam hamushloch. It's considered your ma'aso. Hal v'atinuk nerag al yedei kovei v'oy meskuf. It's the child is killed because of the weight of the person. Chasher kan peula. So therefore, the person is held culpable by what happened. But on the other hand, it's not called that he would have to give up his life. That's what he understands in that gemara. Okay, that's one example. So take a look at one more example, page 11. Well, we'll get to there, hopefully. Okay, page 11. See, it's bracketed off in page 11. There's a mission in Kalayim. Hamani b'shar b'chamor sefik as arboyim v'ishav b'karan sefik as arboyim. Remeir poitzer. So a person gets into. So there's an issue in the Torah. A person takes two different animals, yokes them together, and then leads them. Just leave them going somewhere. So that's usur. Let's say the person, they're attached to a wagon. The person goes into the wagon, he sits in the wagon. He does nothing to the animal. Doesn't talk to the animal, doesn't hit the animal, does nothing. But the nature of the animal is when they feel the weight in the wagon, they start moving. Okay? So his weight is causing this action. So the mission says, the Tanakhama says, the halacha is that he's chayev, and Rameir says he's potter. It means the further argument, the Tanakhama says it's considered your maisa. And Rameir says it's not considered your maisa. Tanakhama says you're doing something. Rameir says you're not doing something. But Gemara Bamed, so that's the first short paragraph over there. Gemara Bamed Siyah, Dav Chesam Beis, East of the Shmuel, Hoifech is a Gears as a Mishnah, who Sharna, Bechom and Perchim as a Yeshua Bekorin. Shmuel plays a Kachla Lachash, a Yeshua Bekorin potter. So Shmuel says, no. The Tanakhama, which is the Chacham, who say that you're potter. Your mayor says you're chayav. So it means the Iker Psalach like the Tanakhama. You're potter. Now, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Shmuel's version of the Mishnah or the Mishnah as written? Rishonim Yesh Mechloik is Yom Poskim Kishmuel Aloy. The Re, which is moved Barash, Poskim Kishmuel. The Rif and Ramam Le Poskim Kishmuel. Poskim Yesh Bekorin is chayav. So the Rif and the Ramam both paskin that the person, by just having his presence in the wagon, is considered your Maisa. Means your weight, your presence is doing something, and that's enough to be a chayav. Okay. So he comes out that your weight is doing something. So therefore, he would hold that the descent in the elevator is considered your mice, and whatever it's doing is considered you're doing it. Any electricity which is being generated, which is then powering the elevator, etc., is all, you're responsible for that. Rav Rosen again held not like that. Now, the one more question which they raise is there's a concept in halacha called mesayeya. So turn to page 15, please. So more, there's a halacha by Shabbos. If two people do a halacha together, they're both potter. By Shabbos, there's a specific halacha. First, two people do a halacha together, they're both potter. Shnayim shasu is potter. The more qualifies that halacha, that statement by the following. The more says, if neither could do it themselves, if neither could do it themselves, so it comes out at the end of the day, even though they're doing it together, but each one is an integral component to the action. It will not happen without him. So that is considered your mice, your chayv. Both are chayv. If both could do it by themselves, they're both potter. Now, what do we mean if one could and one can't? Ze yachol means able. One is able to do the malach on his own, and one is not able to do the malach on his own. So the Mora says the yachol is chayiv, then a yachol is not significant. So the Mora says an important rule called Masiyeya ein b'mamish. So if one person is yachol, he's able to do it on his own. And the second one is not yachol, he's not able to do it on his own. So he's just contributing, so that's he's insignificant, Messiah and Ramamish. This has many applications in halacha, Messiah and Ramamish. So there's a concept called Messiah and Ramamish. So now, the argument over here is, would you apply this to the elevator? The elevator is going down, and it's generating light and doing all these wonderful things, whether I'm there or not. So it's Yochel. I myself, without the motor doing its thing, would not be moving this elevator up and down, you know, and doing these things. So I'm an Eino Yochel. So the Yochel can do it without me, and I'm an Eino Yochel, that's called Masiyeh and B'mamish. So even if you argue that weight is considered your Maisa, and you accept Rav Halperin's arguments, but still, I am in the level of a Masiyeh and B'mamish. That was the argument which was raised. So now there's a Tosis over here, which there's going to be two ways to look at this Tosis. Of course, both ways are used. Due to time constraints, I'm not going to do the Tosis inside. Just basically give you the Tosis outside of page 15. Tosis over here raises the question, when we say Yochel and Eino Yochel, how theoretical are we talking about? We're talking about this one person is a 90-pound weakling and he can't carry anything at all. So two things, two people are carrying this big beam in the Rishus HaRabim. One guy is, you know, Mr. Strongman, and one guy is Mr. Weakling. So Mr. Weakling cannot carry this beam by himself no matter what. Mr. Strongman doesn't need the guy for who knows what, right? Never needs this guy, so he's Yoko, he's Eino Yoko. Easy case, right? What about if the assistant, the Masayaya, also has the ability to do it? But he's carrying it in a fashion where he can't do it. He puts two fingers underneath the beam. He's a strong guy. Puts his hand on it, he can carry the whole beam by himself. He only puts two fingers, and he can't carry it as such. So Tosfos says that's called Eino Yochel. He's not able to do it, as is. So we don't look at theoretical, we look at the way he's doing it. So now, does that apply to effort also? So now let's talk about the Yochel. My strong man is carrying this big beam, right? And if somebody has two fingers underneath it and is helping the other end, you know, with two fingers. And I couldn't care less about his two fingers because I have the main burden on myself also. I'm exerting X amount of effort. Right? So, now he takes his two fingers away. Do I exert more, any more effort? No. So that case, clearly I'm a yochel and he's an inner yochel. Let's say because of his help, I exert X minus amount of effort. Now, I could exert X. I have the ability to exert X. But now that he's there helping with his two fingers, I actually pull back and I don't exert myself as much. And the level of effort that I do would drop the beam if he wouldn't be there. So is that called him a yochel at this point in time? Or am I called an inner yochel? So that's the question, how to understand Tosfos. Tosfos says, we look at the present situation. So it's vis-a-vis the person who's called the not able, the non-able person, the inner yochel. What about the able person, the yochel person? What? How specific do we look? We look at how he's holding it. Do we look at the level of effort? So this is going to be a machlokes. Why is it relevant? Because, yes, the elevator could do it without me, but now that I'm there, my weight is helping, the elevator actually cuts back and doesn't do it without me. You're right. If I wouldn't be there, the elevator would put more effort in and make it happen. But now that I am there, the elevator doesn't do that. It actually cuts back and it puts less effort in. So now, right now, as is, it's not able to do it without me. So that's called Yochel or Eino Yochel. So that's going to be an argument. So Rosen writes, that's called, he considers that that's a case called the elevator's Yochel, and you're Eino Yochel, and therefore you're Messiah and Vein B'mamish. Of course, Rav Halperin disagrees with that and says that's considering that the situation as is, you're contributing. You're part of the equation right now, and without you, it wouldn't happen as is. So therefore, it's called the case of Eino Yochel and Eino Yochel, which both people are chai. So it means I'm chai for what I'm doing. So that was the argument. How to learn the toises? They're arguing in the same toises. They're arguing. What's the point of toises? I do want to point out a few interesting things about this discussion. We're not going to go through the rest of the packet. It's you know, you can definitely please, you know, you can hold on to them and browse them at your leisure. While you're eating your turkey, you know. Okay. Now the way an elevator works, just let's go back to the way an elevator works again. You know, I'm not vouching for the physics. I haven't studied elevators in depth. No pun intended. But what I've seen, at least both in the Hebrew Swarm and figuring out the physics based on Hebrew Swarm, is fascinating, and in the English things that I've read also. So most elevators work with a counterbalance. We're talking about elevators with a counterbalance, and a counterbalance is normally the counterbalance is equal to the weight of. There's two ways they do it. One, the counterbalance is equal to the weight of the elevator. It's the weight of the elevator empty is the weight of the counterbalance. And some actually have it that the weight of the counterbalance is greater than the weight of the elevator, the cab. Usually it's 40 to 50% more. So therefore, so when you say that the situation is, when you say, so if they're both balanced, so theoretically it should stay in balance. I mean, as soon as you walk in, you're doing the whole thing, right, making it move. Well, that's not true because there's friction there. The motor has to get it going, overcome the friction, which has it stopped. But after that happens, right? So your extra 150 pounds is really very significant in that situation. If, however, the counterbalance is greater than the weight of the elevator, and there's only one person in the elevator, so yes, you're contributing, but you still need the motor to do it because it's not going to move it otherwise. If let's say for argument's sake that the weight of the cab is 5,000 pounds, so the weight of this counterbalance is 7,000 pounds, right? So you get 10 200-pound people in there, so now it's equal. Right? So they rate the elevator can hold X amount of people, up to 20 people, etc. Yes, because the motor can work both as a brake, because if they're too heavy, the motor has to slow down the process of going down. And if they're less heavy, the motor has to actually move it. So what role am I playing in that situation? So the case where it's 5,000 to 5,000, and I walk in them with my 150 pounds, my 150 pounds are very, very important. Because I'm really pushing the elevator down. In the case where it's greater, I'm not pushing the elevator down. The motor's pushing it down. I'm helping along. And that's where we have this whole argument. Right? So this argument of what my role is, whether I'm a Messiah or not a Messiah, but it's only relevant in the case where the counterbalance is greater than the weight of the elevator. When it's not, I'm not just a Messiah. I'm actually doing it. Again, you have the other argument. Is my weight called my mice? Which type of elevator do we have over here? I don't know. You know? So that's something which. So these are some of the questions. I just want to touch on the encoder issue. If somebody has to go, please feel free to go. We're over time already. So the encoder, the encoder's job is to measure the speed. The way the encoder does a very simple. You have a light source. You have a photoelectric cell. The easiest way, you have a circle in the middle, which has notches in it. So it blocks the notches block the light and allow the light to go through. Alternately, it's connected to some type of a processor which will measure the amount of times that you. So the quicker it goes, the more light times the light has went through, hit the cell, made a charge, and that connected to some computer which registered that as there was a charger for a second. Charge, charge, charge. Gap, charge, gap. How quick is it going? And it recognizes that and then slows or speeds up the mechanism. So when I go into the elevator and I make this thing move, so I am making this encoder encode marks. Right? So is that considered, if you consider my weight doing something, is my weight considered doing that? Look, yes. It's all part of the process of how the elevator works. So part of what the Machon did to address this problem, because they held the weight as a problem, was they used something called a Menias Menea. Okay, Menias Menea is a siman, it's a Gemara in Shabbos and Kuf Chaf, it's Papasin and Siman Reish Ayin Zayin. If I have a fire which is burning and there's a wind blowing on the fire and threatening to put the fire out, and I shut the door and therefore allow the fire to continue to burn, it's Mutar on Shabbos. Well, the fire is burning because of my Meiser. So Allah says, no. The fire is burning. There is something threatening to make the fire go out, and I'm taking away the threat. So there's a Menea, something which is stopping the fire from burning, and I'm removing the threat. That's all I'm doing. So that's Mutar on Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch says, that's not even Groma, that's less than Groma. It's not a Meiser Bechla. So they created a system to make their encoder work the opposite way, that it always has electricity going, and when it's blocked, when electricity stops, that's when it marks that there was, that gets a mark of that there was something happened. So it comes out that the photoelectric cell hitting it stops the flow. They turn it backwards, and when you block it, it goes. So the encoder is a blockage. This rotary gear in the middle is a blockage which stops the light from preventing it. So it's a menea of a menea. You follow what I'm saying? That's how they solve the problem of an encoder. So Rabbi Yashiv held that that's not true anymore. Once you make it that's the ongoing system, it becomes a unit. It functions as a. It's not considered a menea's menea. It's considered a maisa mamish. Anytime you make a grumma, which always works like that, it's not a grumma anymore. That's the system. That becomes a unit. This is the argument that got me the Shabbos mode. Oh, it's the exact same argument. Well, yeah, it's a grumma, but it always works for the grumma. So it's not a grumma anymore. That's the argument with the grumma switches and all these different things, where they use this process called Menias Menea. Is that true or not? So Rabbi Yashiv held that's a problem. He held the problem back in 1975. He also held a problem when they first came out with it. So there's nothing new in 2009. Nothing new. But that's exactly the problem. Why is there something new? There's nothing new. But you know, they came out, there's new information. I'm not sure what the new information is. It's because there's an encoder. There was an encoder in 1975 also when they put the elevator into Shari Tzedek. So that's my political comment on that issue. I don't know exactly what the issue over there is. So that was the issue with encoder. Now, I do want to point out one more thing, that there's a few other things which you need to be aware of. There's a weighing mechanism. Some of the new ones have a weigh. You walk in, the floor weighs you as soon as you walk in. All these cases, what happens is you walk in, nothing happens when you walk in. So my mice is walking in, that's nothing. Then the elevator starts going, I'm already past it. But over here, I'm walking in, as I walk in, it's weighing me. So those are a problem. So the old elevators, of course, don't have that, the newer ones do. So the old is better. Remember that, that's an important rule. When it comes to the halachic issues with Shabbos, many times older is better.
So the
ones which are certified by the Machon don't have they have a way that they turn off the weighing mechanism. Once you press Shabbos mode, the weighing mechanism goes off. Then you have the door. Now the door, of course, there's a door motor. So there are two issues with the door. There's the door and an automatic opening shut door, which is an automatic opening shut door. So it's. Happens automatically. What they do is they make it that it goes automatically open and shut. It's open for X amount of seconds, and then. But what happens if somebody's in the walking through into the elevator at that point in time? So either there's some type of a sensor, a photoelectric sensor, or a proximity sensor, something which recognizes the fact that I'm there and pulls the door back. It shouldn't hurt me. So I'm causing the door to the motor to go and reverse the door. Then when I continue walking in, it says, "Oh, the guy's not there anymore." It allows. It starts a timer, which keeps it open for another 5 seconds, whatever the number is, and then shuts it again. So that's really a problem. So a person should be not, you know, that you want to have a safety issue there, even on a Shabbos elevator. You should not, you know, it should be done in such a way that you shouldn't have that problem. Which they try and do that. They try and have that it shouldn't be such a problem.
What do you mean by safety?
You don't want the door crushing somebody. It's not very pleasant. Right, but you shouldn't want to be in a situation where you're doing that. So you want to, you know, that. So they set a buzzer which announces that it's just, you know, it's about to close and you shouldn't walk through. Now, if you choose to walk through afterwards, that's your business. They did their job in telling you it's about to close. Don't walk through. Of course, there's always going to be one Jew. I can get in time. Resist that urge. I can get in through time. Because it's exactly why that buzzer was there. Because you can't get in there in time. And you're not smarter than the system. Right? But of course, Jews are smarter than the system. So that's going to be a problem. And that person should be aware of that also. Okay. Halacha l'maisa, Rabbi Rosen did point out to me that Rabbi Einar Zatzal was semech on Shabbos elevators. So I'm not passing halacha l'maisa, but just granting some of the questions. Okay.